the demise of Ratan Tata, among India's greatest industrialists. We'll be joined by Naina Lal Kidwai, Suhail Seth, Mukund Rajan, and Kiran Mazumdar Shaw in just a few moments from now. But first, this story on Ratan Tata.
As I look back over my years, I've been fortunate to see the country transition from a controlled country to an open economy. I've seen it grow. And I feel extremely proud and happy to have been a part of this great transformation. My dream for the future of India is to see India grow, continue to grow, and become an economic power, to be a country of equal opportunity for all Indians in a united form where all laws apply to all Indians as one. I believe this country is a nation that we should all be proud of, and I hope that we can all play our parts, if they're as we are, to make it the great power it needs to be. Thank you again for this recognition.
All right, well, joining us now are Naina Lal Kidwai, former president of FICCI and former country head of HSBC India. Thank you, ma'am, very much for being with us. You would have interacted with Ratan Tata extensively. What is your most abiding memory of the man? Ma'am, I think you're on mute. Can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, apologies.
Perfect.
I think my abiding memory of him was just with the amazing brand ambassador he was and is for India. I've taken many a corporate, global corporate CEO and chairman into meetings with him. In fact, any of these visitors, their itineraries were never considered complete if they hadn't managed a meeting with Mr. Tata. And those meetings were always very interesting because they were peppered with questions, his own curiosity to understand what was happening in those companies and around the world. But equally, the frankness and vision with which he shared what his companies were doing, but also what India was about. And I think it is those interactions which drove many a company into joint ventures with the Tata Group, or if not with the Tata Group, to come into India and invest here. And on the other side, that it also encouraged him to move the Tata Group out to being the global company it is today. Because whether it's TCS or the acquisitions by Tata Motors of JLR, the Jaguar Land Rover acquisition, or indeed Tata Steel of Corus, Indian Hotels of the Pierre Hotel and others around the world, we also saw through that period around 2000 to 2008, 2009, a bunch of major acquisitions done by the Tata Group offshore.
Okay. You know, if we talk about the man, he was a very private person. He didn't like the media spotlight. He was also a very humble man. You know, I mean, humility was one of his basic traits. How did that, in a sense, not just define him, but the way that, you know, the value system of the Tata Group of companies sort of tried to epitomize or tried to follow in his footsteps?
You know, Vishnu, when you see a leader behave the way he did, whether it was always walking every visitor, no matter what who that person was, out to the lift, irrespective of you know how busy a day he had, or indeed you know seeing him at the airport carrying his own bag and just you know waiting for a delayed flight. I remember we stood in a corner chatting quietly. He was thinking of getting whisked off to a lounge, wasn't surrounded by lackeys and security guards. He was just so amazingly humble and down to earth in his demeanor and how he behaved and blended in. It was always wonderful to see. And actually, it was a trait which JRD had as well. I was on flights with JRD boarded and, you know, sat in economy class with all of us. And without much ado. So these leaders are leaders, I think, that demonstrate to us what being grounded, what being humble, what being connected with the reality on the ground is about.
We're also joined by Mukund Rajan, the first brand custodian of the Tata Group. Mr. Rajan, thanks very much for being with us. You know, your thoughts on the passing of Ratan Tata. You've been associated, with him very, very closely. Can you tell me what this means to the group and what this means to you personally?
He was somebody who was really a larger-than-life figure, who really set the tone for Tata's trying to become an international enterprise, a globally respected brand. And I think it was on his watch that Tata's were able to do all of this. In the 1990s, when he had recently taken over the group, he also faced enormous challenges in protecting the Tata home turf. And I think a lot of the investments that he made in issues such as quality management, unifying the group, creating a common brand, creating a code of conduct for Tata companies, all of those paid off and gave him the confidence in the 2000s to really pursue the internationalization strategy. So where Tata's are today, a multi-hundred-billion-dollar market cap group with some of the most powerful flagship companies in industries like automobiles, steel, and software, owes a lot to the investments that he made in his time. And I think while more recently he was obviously not very involved with operations at Tata Group companies, I think that ambition, that sense of purpose, the determination to succeed, those are very important qualities that will be missed in the future by Tata's. But hopefully they will learn from the legacy that he has left and continue to set their sights on achievements that will make not just Tata people proud, but all of India proud in the future. And for me personally, obviously, the loss is something that is deeply felt. He was my first boss. He was somebody who really taught me the ropes on how to really manage businesses. Whatever I've achieved subsequently in my corporate career has been really the insights and the encouragement that he provided. He was somebody who really believed in empowering young people. And I think I was one of the beneficiaries of that.
Ms. Kidwai, let me come back to you. We associate the Tata Group so closely with the India growth story and Ratan Tata being the leader of that for so long. But in fact, he was incredibly persistent, at a time when India's economy wasn't doing well. He sort of led this group to become bigger and bigger through the decades when things weren't as good as they are now. It just goes to show how tenacious he was throughout the decades.
Absolutely. I was actually part of the disinvestment of Air India in 2000. And look at the patience and how the group, and I'm so glad that we could actually see Air India going into the Tata fold before today, so he could actually celebrate that. But he was there very much driving that first time acquisition as well by the Tata Group. It did not happen because Singapore Airlines pulled out, and that's a whole other story. But he was there talking to the unions, persuading them that they were the right partners. And at the end of those interactions, he had the entire union behind him, wanting Tata's to acquire the company in 2000. And so if you talk of persistence, he never took his eye off the ball in terms of his desire to be in the airline business. We saw the birth of Vistara and, the entry into the airline business thereafter. And finally, the acquisition of Air India itself.
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I interviewed him in 2007, a short interview, which we're playing out now. We both have a passion for aviation, for aircraft, and he wanted to fly on a jet aircraft. So he did. He flew on an F-16. I flew on that F-16 the same day. And I managed to catch him and I told him, you have to give me an interview now. We've got something in common. We've both flown this fighter aircraft. And it's not so much about that experience on that fighter aircraft, which was huge for him. It's also because he spoke to me about his interest in the aviation sector. And many, many years later, Air India continues to acquire aircraft, including a new announcement, which has sort of been revealed today. Let's just take a look at that short story.
A dream come true for Ratan Tata, a sortie on a supersonic American F-16 fighter. Tata's flight would last approximately 25 minutes and would see Ratan Tata being put through maneuvers like rolls and a few hard turns. Speaking to NDTV shortly after his flight, Tata described his experiences.
It's a terrific airplane, and for someone who's not used to it, you end up feeling very timid in whatever you tried to do when I was flying the plane. And we did a few things with where the commander took over and did some rolls, and all of it was very exciting. We went down to around 500 feet of the deck and flew around the topography, and it's just unbelievable because you just climb over a hill and come down, turn on your side or turn over. Just an unbelievable experience.
The Lockheed Martin pilot who had the privilege of flying Mr. Tata had this to say.
I think he was thrilled with the flight, and I was very glad to fly him. I think the high point of the flight was when we flew down at lower altitudes. We flew 500 feet above the ground and about 600 knots, where you get a real feel for just how fast this plane can go.
For the moment, however, Ratan Tata has ruled out investing in the Indian aviation sector.
Right now, I think the civil aviation sector is very crowded, but aviation will always be an area that attracts me, and when an appropriate possibility or opportunity comes along, I will, of course, be very keen to look at that as a possible sector.
Mr. Tata, though, is not quite through flying fighter jets. Tomorrow, he's supposed to fly a sortie on a Boeing F-18. At the Yelahanka Air Base in Bangalore, with camera person Vinu Subbaiah, Vishnu Shom for NDTV.
So that was way back in 2007. And one of the points that he told me over there was that, you know, when an opportunity arises in the aviation sector, it's something that he would look at very closely. Now, of course, he's got Air India back into the Tata kitty, and but still quite a way away from being the truly world-class airline that he expects it to be. But Mukund Rajan, let me come to you next. There would have been many ups and downs for him professionally as well. One of the biggest challenges he faced was the entire Cyrus Mistry episode. It was sad. It was a legal battle, a corporate battle. Be that as it may, you know, Mr. Mistry did die in a car crash. He was someone very close to Ratan Tata at a time. All of that, the corporate battle, the loss of Cyrus Mistry, I would think would have had a pretty profound impact on Ratan Tata. Is that what happened?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think something like that does not leave its scars, and very deep scars at that, because it was almost an existential crisis that Tata's went through when Ratan Tata and Cyrus Mistry fell out. But I think if you look at where Tata's at today, I think you can also get a sense of the kind of strength that Tata's have, and that Mr. Tata himself would have had to have to go through all of those kinds of situations to see that the group came out of it ultimately with it being in fact, a stronger position than it's ever been in. And I think that's a tribute to the resilience that was built into the group from the early days. And a lot of that has to do with Mr. Tata and the kind of focus he provided right from the time he took over the chairmanship in 1991.
Ms. Kidwai, one of the things that the Tata Group did very effectively was actually go international, establish themselves as the international big Indian firm. And that also meant having to take a lot of risks. The expansion of Tata Steel abroad, Jaguar Land Rover at a time when things weren't going well for Jaguar Land Rover. I mean, these were dangerous, tough decisions, and he took them, right? And knowing that, you know, there was a possibility that things may not work out.
Yeah, but in fact, Ford was grateful that the Tata Group took over JLR at the time. So you're absolutely right, Vishnu. These were challenged companies which the group moved into. But I think the vision was not just the acquisition of the company itself to turn it around, but to learn from the technologies, to imbibe the atmosphere, the people, the engineers, the talent into mainstreaming it back in India. And through some of these acquisitions is why we saw world-class companies come up in India. So you get the energy efficiency of a Tata Steel, you get the move from the old Ambassadors and Fiats, which we grew up with, to the Indicas and the new cars that came through Tata Motors, which many of us then celebrated, that we could have a car that we could call our own, both affordable and indeed of the next generation. And I think a lot of this happened because of the desire to be world class. We saw large exports into countries like Africa, in particular, initially from the Tata Group. And that looking outward was, I think, a hallmark of the group, which happened quite early at a time when Indian companies were not known for exports. And of course, the strength of TCS and what TCS has meant for our country, for the IT sector, and as a really magnificent global player. I mean, TCS at the World Economic Forum, I mean, just owned the space.
Yeah.
They used it and worked through that client base. It was just amazing to see the stream of CEOs that would come through those meetings there. And this was all an indication of an Indian company that went truly global. And his move even into Harvard Business School with the Tata Hall there. Right in the heart of the business school campus, you have the Tata name. And it's not just any old building. It's an environment-friendly building, elegant, one which I know that Mr. Tata had a big hand in its design and took deep interest in the way it was taking shape.
Mr. Rajan, he was known as, we know Ratan Tata as a kind man. Mukund Rajan, let's just go across to Mr. Rajan. We know Ratan Tata as a kind man. Was he a tough boss?
He was demanding, and you could make sure when he was disappointed or not happy. He was not somebody who was given to raising his voice, but the look that he could give you and the coldness or aloofness would give its own message. But he was somebody who was inspirational. And so people went above and beyond to really work very hard to deliver results, not always to his satisfaction. Quite often, as we saw in industries like telecoms, the outcome was something that he was extremely unhappy about. But ultimately, he took the responsibility always. And so you always had that cover that even if he was a tough boss, he would be the person really fighting your battles and you could really shoot off his shoulder. And that was very important, especially when you were a young manager. To have that support, I think, really made a world of difference.
Ms. Kidwai, he was also a humanist. He loved dogs. He used to look after stray dogs. He used to send out social media messages saying, we found this dog, can somebody help? He didn't want to be known as among the richest men in the world. He wouldn't be on the lists. That's because most of his money he gave away to the trusts. And that, again, would be, in my sense, one of the an abiding memory of the man, that he was generous to a fault, but generous to causes which really make a difference in our country.
And inspired some of us to do what we do. He would ask me what I was up to after I had retired from the bank, and I was filling his ears with all the stuff that I was doing and that I was thinking of starting on a book on the environment. And his eyes lit up and he sort of encouraged me to do what I was planning to, had a little chat about it. And so when the book was done, I actually took across one of the first copies to him and gave it to him. And he was just delighted. And he said, look, we must do a student version. And Tata Trust put their money behind distributing some of those books for free in colleges at the time. Because environment studies had just been declared in colleges, but there were no textbooks. So not right. That this was going to be a textbook, but at least it encouraged discussion on subjects to do with the environment. And, you know, he was that kind of man. If he believed in something, he wanted and inspired many of us to work in areas like sustainability, which Mukund knows really well. And I think that culture of sustainability, which Tata represents across all its companies, is very much the DNA and culture of the group. And it came from the top. I have no doubt of that.
Wonderful speaking to you, Naina Lal Kidwai. It is such a sad day for us, but, an excellent opportunity to remember the contribution of a man who's done so much, not just for his company, but for all of us in India. Makes you proud to sort of be an Indian you know, knowing that, you know, you're part of a system that's been impacted by Ratan Tata so profoundly. Thank you very much indeed. Mr. Rajan, let me just come back to you quickly. Would Ratan Tata separate the professional requirements, and this is because you've worked with him so closely, would he separate the professional requirements of work with the personal chemistry that he established with people around him, people like you?
I think for him, what was important was ultimately, you know, were you the right person for a task, for an activity, for a job? I don't think personal equations really came in the way if there was something important that had to be delivered. Of course, you had an advantage in that if you worked with him closely and he knew your capabilities, he was somebody who would trust you to the hilt. And that was very empowering. It also meant a huge amount of responsibility. And occasionally, people did, you know, fall short of his expectations ultimately. So you'll see a lot of people who would have worked very closely with him at one time or the other, who later on, you know, separated and went their own ways. And of course, the most unhappy episode in the, of that fashion was the one with the leader of Tata Finance, who was eventually imprisoned, in fact, for poor corporate governance and criminal actions, who at one time had been a protege of Mr. Tata. So he didn't always get it right with people. But I don't think at any point he ever let that get in the way of doing what was right for the business and ensuring that changes were made when they had to be done.
A final question. He had to take extremely difficult decisions as well, the expansion of the steel business. Then there was the entire Tata Nano mess in Bengal with protests by Mamata Banerjee. Then Jaguar, Land Rover were very much in the doldrums financially. So he wasn't risk averse at all, was he?
He was not. I mean, go back to the 1990s, even the plan to build the Tata Indica. I mean, today, for all the talk we hear about Make in India, he was the original champion of Make in India. Nobody was willing to concede that an Indian company which had expertise in commercial vehicles could build a competitive passenger car in this country. And he didn't do it once, he did it twice. He did it with the Tata Indica, and years later, he, of course, did it with the Tata Nano. So he was somebody who really believed that if you put the right people behind the right projects, invest the right resources, focus on quality and customer service, never believe that the impossible cannot be done. So I think he had great confidence that companies like JLR, even Corus Steel, could be turned around. More could be done with them. I have to say he had a fair amount of bad luck because those acquisitions, as you will recollect, happened just before the global financial crisis. And I don't think very many people around the world knew that that was coming. And unfortunately, that set the Tatas also back several years in terms of some of the plans and projects. Likewise, you could argue that the Tata Nano launch in Singapore, which is derailed because of protests, political protests, you lost a huge time to market advantage. So he had bad luck also. But the important thing is, how did the group come out of that? How did these companies come out of it? And looking at where they are today with their market cap, for instance, you'd have to say that if they've taken all these challenges in their stride. And I think equipping them with the confidence for the future and that level of ambition, as I said earlier, is something that Mr. Tata has to be given a huge amount of credit for.
All right. Mukund Rajan, wonderful speaking to you, somebody who's worked very closely with Ratan Tata. We're now joined by Kiran Mazumdar Shaw, the wonderful to have you, ma'am, the executive chairperson of Biocon Limited. Ma'am, could you share your thoughts on the passing of Ratan Tata?
You know, Vishnu, first and foremost, I'm in Boston, which is a city that Ratan Tata used to love frequenting. And that's where I used to meet him a lot, because I used to also come to Boston for my, you know, biotech meetings. And he was someone who invested in life technologies in a big way. And he and I used to often spend evenings brainstorming and discussing great investment opportunities. He was so passionate about investing in tech startups. And I feel so privileged and blessed that I had that quality time with him to discuss many of his investments and many of the things I was investing in. So I'm so deeply saddened to learn the news. I think Ratan Tata was a great man, a great mind. Of course, he was a great philanthropist and he was just an amazing man, you know, and I just feel so privileged to have known him.
Ma'am, what was his contribution to Indian industry, not just now when, you know, things have done well, you know, 7-8% growth, but in the past as well? You know, it's consistency and tenacity, which, you know, have been really important factors in determining how the Tatas have progressed. And, you know, it's something that he's obviously led.
Well, you know, I mean, that's a question which is very easy to answer, because, you know, Ratan Tata believed in India, believed in making India a great country. He invested in technology. He invested in so many different things, you know, the automobile industry, the steel industry. I mean, he used to invest in big global brands. I think he was very, very keen on building a great global brand from India and for India. He was a very proud Indian, I can tell you that. And I think he was a great nation builder. And he invested in almost every sector that he thought was important, including, you know, building a cancer hospital in Calcutta, which he thought was so important because he really believed, and that's something I shared with him, about affordable access to people who need, you know, life-saving treatments, which they couldn't afford.
You know, if you look at what happened in Kolkata, and you mentioned Kolkata, one of the biggest challenges that he had was in Bengal. You know, the Nano project never took off in terms of manufacture in Bengal because of differences with land acquisition and Mamata Banerjee. Mamata Banerjee, in fact, tweeted condoling his death, and yet, as a human being, despite these huge differences, Ratan Tata and his group chose to be consistent in trying to reach out. I mean, in a sense, that's the man he was. He didn't have any grudges.
Yeah, he was a great man. You know, he understood what the challenges that West Bengal had in terms of, the kind of antipathy certain local communities had for industry. But I think he never bore a grudge against, Mamata Banerjee or the government, because I think he was a very forgiving man. And he basically would always find another option. And that's what he did. You know, he would, if West Bengal was not welcoming, he knew other states would be. I mean, he just built such a great company. You know, Tata's, under his leadership, just went from strength to strength. And, you know, he did, he just expanded the Tata, empire in almost every new sector that you could think of.
And ma'am, one final question. Aviation was his big passion, and his last big acquisition was Air India, the Tata Group acquisition, but I'm sure he influenced that. He was unable earlier on to bring Air India to the fold, but belatedly, he got to see it as a part of the Tatas. That must have meant the world to him.
I'm glad he saw that before he passed, because I think that would have really warmed his heart that it came back to the Tatas.
One, I must ask you this, you know, something which must have broken his heart, I guess, would be the differences with Cyrus Mistry, who at one stage was the heir apparent, someone he had seen grow into the system, who Ratan Tata believed was the future of the group. Then there was that lengthy legal battle. Cyrus Mistry was sadly killed in a car accident many years later, very sad. Do you think all of this would have had a profound impact on Ratan Tata personally?
I don't even want to comment on it, because I really didn't have any insights into that particular part of his life. So I my whole relationship with Ratan Tata was really on the technology front, the startup front. He used to love discussing life technology with me. He was so excited about the interface of IT and life sciences. And it used to always excite him when he used to find some very innovative science in Boston, and he would immediately share it with me. So I just feel that this is a time to celebrate his greatness, celebrate his life, and celebrate his contributions to making our country grow and, assume the stature it has today. And a lot of it has to do with him.
He was a wonderful philanthropist. He believed in education and health. He was a key part of the Tata Trusts, obviously. And I suppose that is one of the most abiding aspects of his legacy, charity work.
Well, I think he very, very firmly believed that, you know, wealth creation is about also making impact on society. And his own words, he said, I want to be remembered for making a difference. And he always felt that through philanthropy, you could make a difference in many, many ways. That was his greatness too.
All right, ma'am. Wonderful speaking to you. And thank you so much for sharing, you know, your memories of the great man. We'll take a short break. And we've got a very special guest up after that, Jyotiraditya Scindia, the union minister. There's a family association there with Jyotiraditya Scindia's family and the Tata Group. He talks about that in this very special interview. I spoke to him a little while earlier on today. So do stay tuned for that after this short break.
To tell us about his memories of Ratan Tata, the Union Minister Jyotiraditya Scindia. Mr. Scindia, thank you very much for being with us. The Tatas and Ratan Tata was around when the Big India growth story hadn't even started. He was around for a long time preceding that. And therefore, his contribution was consistent even before the going got good for us. I think it's that tenacity of work which, in a sense, defined him and his group.
So, Vishnu, I'd like to talk more about the person than necessarily the group. Ratan Tata ji, for me, embodied many virtues and many attributes. The ability to be able to think big, the ability to be able to stay the course, the ability to be committed and dedicated, hold on steadfast to the values of truth, high morals, high ideals. And these are not attributes or values that you find commonplace in the world today. His journey has been one of tenacity, as you said, starting with NELCO. But very soon, as he took over charge from GRD Tataji, led the group to new heights, whether it was the acquisition of Tetley in England, whether it was the acquisition of Corus through Tata Steel, then building the cheapest car for every single Indian. He wanted every Indian to be mobile. So he was a fighter for a cause, and businesses were built to be able to serve that cause. That represented Ratan Tata ji's ability. The acquisition of JLR, and I think he carried with him not the flag of the Tata Group alone. He carried the flag of India. He carried our Tiranga and placed it firmly on the world stage. Most importantly, he was simplest human beings, the most unassuming person I have ever met in my life, a gentleman at heart. For me, it's a real personal loss because our families have known each other for the last four generations. Sir Jamshedji Tata, when he was setting up Tata Steel, my great-grandfather, Madhav Maharaj I, was the only person who came in and funded Tata Steel at that point, because he realized that India needed its own infrastructure, and they had a very, very strong bond. His son, JRD Tata, and my grandfather, Jivaji Rao Scindia, had a very close relationship when Air India was formed in 1942, before independence. They both put Gwalior on that first aviation map of Air India. My father, 8 years junior to Ratan Tata ji, shared a very close relationship. I remember in Bombay, when we used to live in Bombay, meeting him for the first time when I was all of 10 years old. And so my relationship with him has been over the last over four decades. And I met him a number of times. I remember after I graduated from Harvard and came back as an investment banker with Morgan Stanley, went to him for advice, met with him about his expansion plans. In 2016, I invited him to the Scindia School as the chief guest. And even at the ripe age, old of 80, the way that he interacted with every single student went from desk to desk in the exhibition, curious, inquisitive, a bevy and a lineup of boys waiting to take photographs with him, waiting to get autographs from him. And 2 years ago, I had the good fortune of going and having lunch with him, with my wife and my son, to introduce the next generation of my family to him. And the amount of time he spent with us, and I remember walking into his house and going to his dining room. And at the age of 84, his dining room was still full of books he wanted to read, business plans that had come to him. Even after he retired as the chairperson of the Tata Group, he set up a venture fund. He was still engaging with the youth of India, pushing them forward, telling them to take risks, achieve what has not been achieved before. So Ratan Tata embodies all of those values. And most importantly, Vishnu, he was a humanist. He was a gentle soul. I remember in Bombay House in those days, I'm talking about the early, mid-80s, every stray dog was welcome in Bombay House. Every stray dog was fed. And his ability to touch lives, his ability in his very slow, halting way, every word of his weighed a ton. And that's the Ratan Tata that we will miss in India, a Ratna of India and a Titan of India.